Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I got the dream team back here with Greg Romero. Yeah, man. Sorry. My daughter had to go to the hospital last night. She fell. She was playing soccer, and she ran into a glass wall twice. Indoor soccer. Like, it looked like clear, and she went running. So she had a huge bump there. And then last night, she was, like, cooking or doing a science experiment, and she slipped. Busted her lip open.
Oh, my goodness.
Had to go to urgent care. But so she's home from school today because we have to make sure she doesn't have a concussion. So I'm just like, my wife's watching her right now.
I was going to say, you sound kind of rough today, buddy. I'm not going to lie. You sound a little, you have a cold. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, no. I'm okay. I'm actually okay. I was like, there was no show last week because I was on a cruise ship. And I went to Honduras, Mexico and Belize. We were allowed off the ship this time, which is good. Nothing because of COVID, we weren't allowed the ship. But the last time,
but that sounds horrible.
But everyone else was allowed off.
Right, everyone else could go, but you guys had to take precautions. They're like, you're staying right here.
Yeah, because what's safer than being stuck in the bottom of a ship with people? Like, how is being out in the ocean worse? Like, out in the sun, where you're like, no, we're going to keep you safe in the bottom of the ship. And then, like, everybody that, like, there was, like, six people that ran the comedy club, and every one of them got COVID. Like, every day I had a new person.
Oh, my God.
Hosting it.
So it didn't matter. Hey, listen, I've heard about getting COVID on the ship, but apparently it's horrible. They quarantine you, like, in the base of the ship in a room with no windows. They just put food in front of your door, and you just got to be in there for 10 days or some shit.
It's crazy. But the shows were really good. I don't know what it is. Even though people are wearing masks in the showroom, you could still maybe they're just happy to be. But like the crowds were actually, maybe if you're on a cruise right now, you're that kind of person that you're gonna laugh. You're the kind of person that doesn't give a shit. You're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live my life. Although one lady, the worst was like, so I'm on a ship and then you have to take another ship to get to the island. Like it doesn't go, there's no port. Like you have to go.
Right.
Like a smaller ship. So I'm sitting there by myself and one lady comes up to me and she's like, hey, you're the comedian, right? And like right away, I'm like, no.
Yeah, here like, we go. Here we go. Here come the notes.
She goes, do you take constructive criticism? Which like, if I say no, it's just going to be, she's going to write a Yelp review.
No, then you're an asshole. So you got to sit here and just take it.
Yeah, and she goes, you know, you're really funny. You were really, really good. But we're from the South, and we don't appreciate jokes about Jesus, right? Because first of all, they tell everyone before the show, if you're easily offended, leave now. Like, leave.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? No one thinks that they're easily offended. Everyone thinks they're super cool, except about this one thing.
Right. But the joke that I made, which was like, I don't even think, I go, I've watched so much porn during this pandemic, I flattened the curve to my penis, right? I go, I got an email from Pornhub asking me if I've considered finding Jesus. So I wrote back, what category is he in? They said bondage. I go, it's a weird porn. Like he gets nailed and comes 3 days later. Like it's a silly joke. I'm not like,
dude, that is scary. If not, of course, as a Jewish guy, you're like, what? All I did was make fun of your Lord and Savior getting nailed to a cross and compared it to jizzing 3 days later. I don't know how you can see that as disrespectful. Like, dude, come on.
I guess Apollo Creed has joined the show right now. McCorkle is now doing puppetry.
I was going to try to play that off, but you guys obviously saw right through it. So.
But anyway, so I just said, okay. I said, okay, to the lady. And she said, okay. And that was it. Like, I'm not going to argue with her. You know what I'm saying?
Not bad then. Hey, listen, then she gave you, you took it and that was it. That's goes, literally the best. That's the best that was going to go.
But she goes, I did like your jokes a lot, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, no problem.
You know, the ironic thing is you're better off as a Jew making fun of Jesus, even though you guys like killed him. Then you would be making fun of a Muslim as a Jew. That could actually get dangerous for you.
Yeah, they might actually kill you back.
I believe
like making fun of Allah or what's his
exactly.
Name,
like Muhammad, so you're just problem. So exactly. So you're like so you're lucky all you got was some constructive.
I believe it was the Romans that killed Jesus.
Who turned him in? Who turned him in? Who were the ones that dragged him there? And
he came back. Down. Look, that was a great trick he did. He came back. You ever see that Ali G where he was like. He asked like a minister, he goes, isn't Jesus just like an overblown David Blaine or something?
Right, right.
The guy gets so fucking mad. But anyway, McCorkle, by the way, sent me a clip of, so Brandon Chow did a fight companion with Josh Barnett and Mitrione, and they kept saying how funny you were.
Yes, couldn't stop talking about it. Couldn't stop talking about how hilarious you are, and Brendan had to sit there. And I love the way they just act like he wasn't even part of the conversation. He's like, well, what about, we could put him, I know comedy clubs and all this. And they just kept going on and on and on. But he's different. He's like funny in such an amazing way. Like, you don't even realize how hilarious he really, really is and all this.
Which is true. It's all very true. But my question is, do you think they knew that Chaub, that like he had heard about the 10,000 jokes about him, and they were.
I may have gotten.
Yeah, but how much
info.
You shit on him every fucking day? Yeah,
I don't want to say how or what, but I did get some inside info on a related party, and they said they absolutely knew was going on.
Oh my God! So they were just torturing him.
I'll tell you a funny one is somebody. Like I said, I can't give you exactly the details. I don't want to rat out sources, but. Somebody said that he said, yeah, he goes at me really hard and I don't know why. And that both parties agreed that he should say nothing back because he will get destroyed.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but you know what? He did say he could open for him. I thought he took it pretty well. He goes, I mean, he was pretty, I got to say, he was like, what is he doing with his life? What is he doing? And they were like, oh, he's going to land on his feet.
But he said I was the world's. I'll tell you what's ironic. He said that I was the world's or Indiana's funniest Uber driver, which I don't even ride in Ubers, let alone drive them. But Mitrione actually drives an Uber on occasion when he's bored. And he's in Indiana. Like, Matt is so crazy. I told him one time, I said, what are you doing? I called him. He said, driving Uber right now. And Matt's got a ton of money. Like, it ain't a money thing, you know?
Yeah, he made
big bucks in Bellator. And I said, why? He goes, I don't know. I was bored. And I was like, so you drive an Uber? He goes, yeah, man, it's interesting to people. But that's exactly Matt. Like, that's exactly the kind of thing he would do just out of boredom. He told me a story one time about trying to flip a lesbian who was a 300-pound, looked like a man, and he was trying to flip her one night just to say he had. And I was like, but why? He goes, I don't know. I like the challenge. But he was like, he's dead serious. He's not trying to be funny. Like his serious stuff is funnier than anything funny that you know anybody tries to say. So,
Don Fry, how are you, Don, by the way?
Good. Good, partner. How are you?
Good. Your Wi-Fi is okay right now. It's not great, but it's okay. It's good. So wherever you are,
I'm out in the garage. My daughter's making me clean the garage, and she's, you know how daughters and women are. They threaten to throw everything away. So right. I'm out here to make sure, you know, some things stay. And it's amazing. I opened up a box and found a box full of old Pride items.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, okay. I was so interested to see
Pride
how that sentence was going to end.
Pride fighting championship items.
I love that. I mean, if only your camera worked, we could see them.
Donna, Donna, I heard that Don opened a box and he just had glass shards and sand and gravel in it, and it was his lunchbox.
Yeah, I was gonna say he opened up. It was the thumbs of his enemies.
Dude, by the way, Sean, Uber driver. There's a comic I knew. His name is Joel Lindley, right? Funny comic, right?
Oh, very funny. That guy's funny.
But this dude, first of all, you would love him, Sean, because he does all this shit just to entertain himself. Like, nothing he does is – okay, three things he would do. He had this system of how to bang women, right, where he would find out where he was going. Like, he was going to Ohio, right? So he had this hot girl that he knew, a friend of his, make a picture, a whole Facebook profile. And then he'd be like, he would email the girl as the girl and be like, hey, my husband's coming to Ohio. You know, you're his type. If he invites you to the show, just please don't fuck him. You could blow him, but just don't fuck him, right? And then he would then hit up the girl. He said 99% he would fuck the girl, and they'd be like, don't tell Beth about what happened. There was no Beth. It was him. Like, that was like, all right, Don, now we're going crazy.
That's a real mind fuck technique. Like, what kind of evil genius? He's like, here I am wasting my time buying them drinks, and all I had to do was stage a large fake persona hoax. What have I been doing? What did I? I did everything wrong.
Think of the money you could have saved.
A fortune.
And that was one thing he would do, right? The next thing he would do is, you know how like in Africa or the people from Nigeria that say, hey, you know, you're going to win $1 million or you got $1 million coming to you if you just give me $50. You know, that those email scams that were big like 10 years, you know.
So yeah, they never pay either.
Those
never
are scams. Like that.
Yeah. So those what he would scams. Do, right? Oh, yes. he would get a check and be like, okay, I'll send you the check. But you have to get I want a picture of you holding your dick or holding your friend's dick. And he made a whole website of these guys doing naked pyramids and like grabbing each other's dicks, and he never sent them the money. So he just has these guys embarrassing themselves, like doing them the gayest shit I've ever seen. All right. And now go on.
I heard he traded the website to Bruce Buffer for $100.
Saw that train coming a mile away, boy.
So finally. So now the third thing he is, he's now an Uber driver, but he lives by Syracuse just to pick up college girls. Like, imagine if he would have used any of this for like
pod.
Now, if he's trying to pick up like young girls like that, it sounds like he's following D'Elia's career path.
Oh, but God. Well, okay, let's talk about not D'Elia for a second, but let's talk about Cain Velasquez because.
Ooh.
So I'm sure most of you guys have known what happened if you listen to the podcast. So Cain Velasquez is in jail right now without bail. Because somebody was molested, I guess his grandmother or somebody owned a daycare, and somebody in his family owned a daycare, and he found out someone was molesting either his daughter or a relative of his, and the guy got out. The guy kept getting out, this guy. So he came.
No bail, yeah. No bail, no nothing.
So he went and followed the guy in like a high-speed chase or something. If I'm getting some of the details wrong, sorry, but he ended up shooting the guy's father. He aimed for the guy. Shot his father, and now he's in jail looking at like 30 years. First of all, my opinion on this is he should do no time. He needs target practice. It's mandatory target.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that they would have to just, if they just get a jury of parents, if they could somehow find parents whose kids have been like fucked up or something, just anybody who has a daughter or a son or a kid, and even if you don't, but you're like, how do you, I mean, insanity, I would say insanity, complete insanity in that. That's a fucking, you find out your kid's been molested. Are you fucking crazy? Don.
Oh, I'd kill a motherfucker slow. You know, cause it'll fuck you up for the rest of your life. Believe me, you know? And, a bullet's too fucking fast, and they don't deserve that. You know, they deserve torture. you know, fucking torture for weeks.
So how would you kill him slow, Don?
Well, I would I'd dump them. I'd cut their Achilles tendons for you know, either cut them or else tear them, you know, with an ankle lock, and then I'd break their elbows and probably break the back of their spine too, you know, just for shits and giggles. And then I'd dump gasoline on them and light them on fire, and put them out real slow. And then I would put them lying back on fire if it wasn't enough. And then I would peel the burnt skin off of them inch by inch and dump salt on it, and then drag them out to an ant pile and put them in the ant pile and
let the ants
clean it up. And then I would dump some more salt on it and probably light it on fire again, but keep putting it out, extinguish it, so they could, you know. And then I would cut their eyelids off so that they couldn't close their eyelids. And
then he would make them watch Bring and Shop Special.
There it is.
Yeah.
Then, oh my God.
Now, first of all, where do you get an ant pile?
Like, what are you doing? They're everywhere where he lives. Come on, what are you talking about? How does he not find an ant pile? His hardest part would be finding a clearing without an ant pile.
I like how you thought of this before.
I was going to say that was starkly real, and honestly, I was making notes. I'm like, this is really a step by step outline, kids. If someone you're ever in this situation,
or make the best horror movie of all time.
I mean, wow, it was, and I knew when he lit him on fire, he was going to put him out.
But
I really did. I was like, you can't let him just burn. You got to let him be burned. But then salt. I did not see salt coming. Salt, I have to admit, was I didn't see salt coming.
McCorkle had the Schaub joke. I didn't feel like he was halfway done. He had like a
I cut him off.
He was like, shut up. Wait, salt's at the very.
The Schaub joke could ruin any number of things. Adam's not my fault.
Salt and cayenne pepper. Don't forget the cayenne pepper.
You know, right, and, of course.
You know, Tabasco, and let them go slowly. Let them go slowly, and like they did in one of the Hannibal books. You know, put an IV in the fucker so that he doesn't die. You know, and he has to stay alive.
All right, so so we have Don Fry. We have the Don Fry opinion. McCorkle, your thoughts on this?
I would say everything except the Tabasco sauce. I think that's going a little too far. But I agree with everything else Don said.
You're weak, Don. You're just weak. You've always been weak. You know.
Yeah. Not to bring down the. I don't know, jokey mood, but dude, I got absolutely disgusted when I read that the judge said Kane is too much of a danger to let out on any bail right now. But the guy who was out there fucking kids had no bail and was released. He's not a danger to anybody. So I got a better idea. Why don't they put the molester in jail and let Kane out? You know what I mean? Then he's only a danger. Kane Velasquez ain't killing anybody except the guy trying to fuck his kid, you know? So,
but he's 1,000% going to kill him. That's the thing.
They should put that fucking child molester in that judge's house.
Yeah. You know,
if a judge is going to do that shit and he thinks he's safe enough for society, put him in your fucking house, asshole.
Greg, thoughts?
Well, there's one thing we know for certain, and that's when these guys do go to jail, jailhouse justice is absolutely brutal on them. They definitely get what they deserve. And so I don't think, I mean, that's pretty much a guarantee. There's a hierarchy in there, and the lowest of the low is the pedophile. So when those guys go in, you know, and the jailers, they don't care. They leave the door open, let guys take turns on them. So they definitely get what's coming to them, and to a certain degree. Now, the problem here we have is, while I fundamentally agree with the sentiment of everybody that's spoken so far, the problem we have is he wouldn't have this bail problem. He would be walking around if he shot the molester. The problem is he shot the wrong guy. And that's where all this legalese is coming into play. It's not because fundamentally, yeah, kill that motherfucker. The courts have let these guys go when it's a parent who takes revenge, but he shot the wrong guy, and that's the problem he's having.
Oh, Greg, I think he'd still be in jail if he shot the right guy.
Yeah, he'd be in jail, but they would let him out, and he would ultimately be clear. Right. I think the hurdles he's facing is not because it fundamentally wasn't within his right to kill somebody who touched his daughter. I think people have Texas has upheld that many times. The problem is he shot the wrong dude, and you can't shoot the wrong guy. That's the catch.
You know what? The apple does not fall far from the tree.
So totally agree. I agree. Agree.
The odds are his dad is too.
Probably so. But in this instance, he's the wrong guy. He shot the guy that didn't do it. And so that's the problem. But I agree with that. And that probably is 1,000% true. But, you know, but in this instance, I mean, the problem we're having, the snafu, the thorn in the wheels here is the fact that he shot the wrong guy.
I mean, well, she comes right in right now.
There she is.
I say that's Greg, and that's Sean and Don.
She's a little fighter running into things.
He's doing a pot. Yeah, she got a little split your lip over yesterday.
Yeah. Right?
It's okay. Go watch Peppa Pig, and I'll be there in a little bit, okay?
How old's your baby?
How old are you?
How old's your girl?
She's three. She's three, Don.
Three?
Growing up so fast.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk
about... First time I was molested, I was six.
Oh, okay, okay,
Don. Hold on,
Henry, can you take... Okay, thank you. Okay, so... All right. Okay. All right. What's the hour on that? What minute was that?
12:25. Well, the time is 12:25. So it's
I don't think he's joking.
I don't think so either.
No, Don was not joking. No. I just don't know if I need.
No, I wasn't joking.
I don't know if I need my kid hearing that.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, but the first time I was molested, I was six. The second time I was eight, and third time I was 11. And then when I was 13, I was walking with my back against the wall anywhere I went, you know? So,
was it a neighbor or was it a cousin or what, uncle? What?
It was a fucking, the first one was a friend of the family. Some bitch worked for my dad, and he had fucking like four kids of his own, too.
What a piece of shit.
Then the second time was some piece of shit my parents had adopted, you know? And that guy was fucking rotten from day one. My dad said, hell, the little bastard was stealing when he was 3 years old, you know, shoplifted, they took it back, you know, and made him, you know, confess and all that. But shit, then the third time was, I was washing dishes at a hotel, you know, and the guy would fucking try and put his hands down my pants, you know, and nobody ever said anything, even in front of the fucking customers. You know, I go to talk to him, he'd try and fucking wiggle his fingers down to my fucking picker, and nobody ever stopped him. You know, that's what's fucked up about it.
Damn. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that happened to you, Don. That's horrible.
Oh, it's not your fault, but, you know, I got a little anger about it, but, you know, it made me who the fuck I am. You know, it gave me fucking drive. You know, I can't fucking sit here and cry about it. You know, I mean, fuck. I mean, it's a little bit harsher than being bullied. Okay. So, you who are being bullied and, called names, wham, 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 suck it up, sweetheart. You know, but shit. You know, it made me who I was, gave me the drive to succeed, and probably gave me my straight right and my left hook.
Yeah, but you
probably so, absolutely. Yeah, and it really kind of explains the really detailed unending revenge scenario.
But Don, I believe that you're the kind of person that you would have had that anyway. You don't need to get molested to have that. That's fucking bullshit. And I'm sorry that happened to you, man. It fucking sucks.
You know, I'm not using this. I'm sorry for saying this. I'm not using this as some kind of cheap ass therapy.
No,
it's not some cheap therapy. I'm just saying I know what Kane's going through, and I think, you know, we ought to fuck. I'll pitch in $1,000 for his fucking for his defense fund. Shit.
Yeah, well, I know that Dana White, and I know a lot of people have spoken up for him. I know a lot of people are out there with signs saying "Free Kane."
Yeah.
John Jones showed up, but he thought it was cocaine. Right. And I'm trying to make so
John Jones like, I got $1,000 for free thing. What's going on?
He goes, I got $1,000 to get him out of there because he owes me $10,000. So if you could kindly get him back in the ring, that would be awesome.
I mean, the shitty part is that the guy obviously loves his daughter more than anything, and this should not. If he can't see his daughter now because of this. I mean, how much would that suck? I mean, that would just be.
Well, that's how fucked up the fucking court system is. The court system, I mean, it's the best in the fucking world, but it's so fucked up and flawed. It's incredible, man. It's fucking incredible.
I don't even know if it's the best in the world. Cause I feel like if there were other places where this happened, I mean, not to defend.
Saudi Arabia will cut your head off.
I mean, but in Saudi Arabia, they would have just said, fuck that guy, and they would have given Kane a fucking statue or something. You know, and that, I'm not defending Saudi Arabia's justice system, but in certain cases, I think you have to just be, I mean, common sense should prevail. And
you know what, Adam? I've got a really good Saudi Arabian buddy. You guys would love each other, you being a Jew. But but you guys I got a Saudi Arabian buddy, and he tells me all the time, he says, like, pedophiles, rapists over there, he said they will execute you. Cut your head off with a sword publicly. And he said, you know how many kids get kidnapped in Saudi Arabia and molested? Zero. Like a country of 40 million people, he said it almost never happens because there's no trial, there's no anything. You know, if they know you did it, you kill. I just can't, I don't know, I'm gonna get all serious, but man, looking at your little girl there, you imagine Kane's daughter isn't much older than yours. Can you imagine anyone looking at that little sweet face and thinking anything sexual about a kid? I honestly, if that happened,
I could totally see myself getting a gun and fucking shooting the guy too.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. I think Kane knows that, you know, he'd rather go to jail and not see her for a few years than know that he didn't do anything. I think anybody would make the same choice. I don't think that's the issue. You know, I think the issue is, you know, if he would have shot the right guy, we would not be having this conversation. You know, it's only because he shot the wrong guy that this got complicated, because it really shouldn't have been complicated. You know, should have been cut dry.
I mean, hindsight's 2020. I wish he would able to catch up the guy and beat him up and killed him.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, I wish he
got his hands on him and did the job.
Yeah. I mean, man, it's just such a tough situation, you know, part of me likes to think that,
Maybe he was just shooting at the truck because they were getting away from him, and it caught him.
I don't know if
I
don't know if I have the balls to get it. I would definitely fuck it. If somebody touched my kid, I would do everything I can to end that person. Anyway,
you would shoot him.
Yeah,
I think he wanted to stop the truck so that he could get the guy out. The bullet just went right in, you know, hit the wrong guy.
All right, let's talk about some fights. Did you guys watch the fights over the weekend?
Did. I watched them.
Yes.
Don, you watched the fights?
No, I was busy. I was in New Jersey.
Oh, nice. You have a signing or something? Or?
Yes, sir, it is.
Nice. I don't know what he said, but it sounded...
I think he said yes. I think it sounded like
yes. Yes, I did a signing. It's the first thing I've done in years. You know,
how was it?
My back. It was fun. It was fun. It was pro wrestling signing, and so I got to see some old friends.
Who did you see?
Right on.
The Nasty Boys. Huh. Saw the Nasty Boys. Saw Jeff Jarrett. Saw Road Dogg, you know.
Wow.
There's a bunch of others, but I didn't get to talk to them all.
That's all. I love Jeff Jarrett with the guitar. The Nasty Boys were awesome. Road Dogg, that was the Road Warriors, right?
No, fuck no. Road Dogg.
He was DX.
One of the, God dang it, now I can't think of his name. Just,
he's the redheaded dude with braids that was with DX.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, what happened was, Don, Colby Covington fought Masvidal, and it was a clinic. Colby Covington, the whole time, I mean, to beat him, it's like he's on 10. It's like he's on a treadmill going on 10 the entire fight. Just nonstop. Wrestling was on 10. He got caught once in the fourth round. He got dropped, got back up. Masvidal didn't capitalize that.
He didn't move in.
And then Colby
that was his only chance.
And Colby kept having a rear naked choke, but Masvidal did a pretty good job defending it of having his chin down. But it was 50-45. One guy had a 49-46. The only thing is, here's the deal. I'm like, if Colby had a little more power, I would say he'd be the perfect fighter or one of the best of all time. But then I'm like, well, if he had a little more power, maybe he'd rely on the power and not have to work as hard. Because we've seen that before, right? Where you see a guy that, you know, like a
all the time. It takes like forever,
Like a Tyron Woodley who discovers his right hand and then kind of his cardio sort of fades a little bit. So maybe it's good that he doesn't have the power. But he looked awesome. He won his fight. Afterwards, he called out Dustin Poirier, which I thought that was a little strange. Poirier is 55, and he said, hey, you know, I just beat, what do you say, something trash.
Now, Miami trash. Now he's going to take out the
swamp trash.
Yeah.
Basically, your wife's a whore, and she has a kid with Conor McGregor. That was that's what he said. But you can't take away his skill level. Sean, what are your thoughts on this fight?
I think, I think Masvidal is getting a little bit old, to be honest with you. He's 37, 38, and, man, my cardio sucked when I was 28. But when you're getting that old, it does. Your athleticism goes downhill, and I'm glad he got his big contract because there's still fights out there. I just don't think they should match him up with wrestlers. But I think Colby goes overboard on a lot of the shit-talking, but he can fight, man. That dude, you can't take anything away from him. He's got balls. He doesn't quit. When the going gets tough, his cardio's insane, and he's really, really skilled, man. And I just wish Greg Hardy had won because he cost me a couple grand on a parlay.
There it is.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Talk about that in a second. Greg, thoughts on the fight?
Man, it wasn't even close. It was sad how not close it was. Now, let me ask you guys this because it seemed to me, this Sambo technique has really taken over, you know? And it seemed to me that's what Covington was doing. It wasn't jiu-jitsu. It was Sambo. He was laying on him, bearing him, bear-hugging him, holding him down, weight on him. It just felt more like Sambo than
like
anything else.
It was a combination of, like, wrestling and jiu-jitsu. It was sort of a cat, sort of catch.
I know, and that's what it seemed like.
Judo and wrestling. Judo and wrestling.
It's Russian military. And that's what it looked like to me. Like he had, it was that kind of dominant pressure that you're used to seeing from the Sambo practitioners. And I felt like that's what he did. And I feel like he saw that, was like, that's what I want to do. And he just went in and did it to him. And this Sambo thing, I think we're going to see more and more and more of it because it's just so fucking effective. Jorge just couldn't do shit.
Well, what's crazy, and when he didn't do that against Usman, though. Like,
I don't think he could do it against Usman. I think Usman is that much stronger than him. I think that he can't hold him down. He tried. I just think Usman, for that weight, is that much stronger than everybody else. Jorge, on the other hand, was not. He didn't look particularly great conditioned or muscular or anything. I mean, he kind of looked, physically looked a little soft, but he never looks super ripped. You never see him being a super cut-up guy.
I hate to say it, but I feel like the best and worst thing to happen for Masvidal was the Ben Askren knockout because it made him an international superstar. But then all of a sudden you started seeing like fat Jorge. He started wearing these like crazy outfits, going to the Trump rallies. He became this like superstar guy. But it seemed like his conditioning fell a little bit. He was
When I first saw him, I was like, "Well, he doesn't look like." But he never really. He looked soft. He looked soft, and I think that showed throughout the fight because he could not get out from underneath Covington. And I mean, it was total and complete domination. And all I kept thinking was, "This speech is going to be some fireworks." Because it wasn't even close. I mean, one thing was close.
Well, then afterwards, Masvidal was like, come on, let's do it. And Colby's guy was like, you have 25 minutes to do it. What, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith, who's wrong on everything, I got to say, his excuse, Masvidal's excuse was, my wrestling wasn't there tonight, right?
Yeah.
And Stephen A. Smith was like, how is that an excuse? You knew the guy was good, better at wrestling. You wrestled with him before. He's your old training partner. He's a two-time All-American. What do you mean your wrestling wasn't there tonight? And I got to say, it's the one time I kind of agree with Stephen A. Smith. Because, that we knew that was going to happen. But so I don't know if you know who John Morgan is. John Morgan is, he's a reporter. He's always the guy with the blue shirt. It's like, has the first question. Real nice guy. Okay. Me and John are friends. Really, really good guy. But for some reason he picked against, I think he said something like Kobe didn't deserve a title shot. So now every time at the press conference, Morgan goes, Kobe, I have a question. He goes, 10 pushups, John. Like, he just makes him do 10 pushups, but John doesn't do that. But, and then that's the end of the, that's it. He's such a bully. He just goes, and now John's whole Twitter feed is people saying 10 pushups every time. Like,
that's what, yeah, I think Kobe told him, if you could do 10 pushups, I'll answer your question, like a long time ago. And then John Morgan even said, I only have one lung. And he's like, it's all right, get down and try. Like, he wanted him to try to do 10 pushups to Kobe, man. You know how Chael was a master at going right up to the edge and then pulling back a little bit?
Yeah.
Kobe goes right up to the edge and then goes three times past it. You know what I mean? Like, he just can't – he just
– dude, he made fun of Matt Hughes getting hit by a train.
Yeah.
I mean, like, after –
that's almost as bad as writing a fake book review on his autobiography.
By the way, I had Matt on the show last week. And everyone asked if you were going to be on it. Do you want to go on with Matt? Do you want
to
go on?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, I told, you know, after that happened with Matt with the train, people were all hitting me up like, dude, ain't that awesome? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, that's not awesome. Like, I don't hate Matt. I just made fun of his book because I thought it was a little weird. But I don't wish him anything bad. Like, I don't want anything. Like, he doesn't deserve to die because he does some embarrassing stuff.
Dude, people in his are book, crazy. First, you know, of like, all, so Matt Hughes, I had him on the show last week, and he was laughing. He still thinks he could take Tim Sylvia. I mean, talk about a tough guy. The guy got hit by a train.
You can take Tim Sylvia now.
Yeah, and he's like, his brain's there. He just can't verbalize it but he's getting there. I mean, and it was like, afterwards, I almost started crying because it was like, I cried during his speech because, you see a guy in that condition, but he's such a good guy, and he says it's the best thing to happen. He's inspiring people, and like,
again, refresh my memory, because we all know he got hit by a train, but what was he doing out there?
Well, that's the thing, right? So according to him, it was like he was filling up his neighbor's tractor with diesel fuel. He had it in the back, and it was like corn, huge cornfield, didn't see a train. He now has a lawsuit against train company, and he didn't see a train. Like, he just, that's it. That's his story. That's what he's going with, right? Other people were like,
didn't see a train.
Yeah. Other people were like, well, he was trying to kill himself, right? That's what people said. Which I don't, I mean, Matt Hughes has never tried to kill himself before, as far as I know. So to go, I'm going to go park my car in front of a train, kind of is a crazy way to go. But let's say those people are right. Let's just say those people are right. He tried to kill himself. I did not. That's still fucking horrible. And like, why is, like, people are like, oh, well, fuck him. He tried to kill himself. He deserves it. No. A lot of people tried to kill themselves and failed. And that's not the way you treat people, even if he did try to kill himself. It's not like, well, good.
Well, I think it's like, entirely possible that neither of these things are the truth. You know, it could have just been a dumb mistake. It could have been
on his phone. He could have on his phone.
I mean, he could have been decided. He may have thought he could jump it. He was like, watch me jump it, you know, watch me jump right in front of it. He may have just thought it'd be something fun to do, you know. Maybe you never know.
There's also the competition factor. When you've been competing your whole fucking life, and then you don't compete anymore, you look for things to compete against. So maybe trying to compete against that train to beat it across the track, you know, that's a possibility.
Yeah, it would have given him a high, like, ending a fight, you know? He would have been right. I did it, you know? You get that high?
Who knows what it was, but whatever it is, he's all about, like, stem cells have saved his life.
And, he went the same place Don went. He's been there repeatedly, yeah.
And you know what, man? And he seems like people are like, well, he was a dick. He fucked his teammates' wives, or he was an or whatever. Whatever happened beforehand, like, you never want to see anyone like that. And also, people can change. And it's not. And I mean, we're not talking. I don't know. It's just, people are just like, oh, fuck them. I'm like, what kind of fucking people are you? Like, because I posted on these forums. And some people are like, hey, man, love the interview. So happy. That was the best interview I've ever heard. So powerful. Great to hear from Matt. Great to hear him laughing. Other people were like, Matt was not a nice guy. I'm like, look, Matt's not a good person. Oh, so you're happy he's in a fucking, like, what? What?
I don't know, man. The whole suicide thing is crazy that people would be. Like, I can speak from experience. Like, I almost committed suicide 3 separate times, and that was just while watching Schaub's comedy.
Oh, so there it is.
I can identify that, with that. But, no, they shouldn't. I love when people are like, well, he tried to kill himself, so that's what he gets. Like, even if he did, like you said, like, that's what he gets? Like, what happened to him before that made him get to that point, you know? So,
well, you know, and the thing is, the only one that really knows is Matt, and he may honestly not even remember.
Yeah,
he may only remember what he was doing prior to that, and somehow it had, you know. So, I think speculating on it is really horrible too. Whatever he says it was, it just should be whatever what people accept it as being. You know, making up other stuff and trying to believe it is pointless. It's completely stupid. And the fact of the matter is, it happened. He told you why it, how it happened, and now we, you know, I mean, thank goodness he's alive and able to inspire people after this happened.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. By the way, I got to ask you, Don. Or Sean, how do you get a gas tank like Colby's? Like, is it just skill or talent or luck?
Hard work. It's called hard work.
But a lot of people
there's hard work, but I think there's also like Kenny Velasquez. I talked to him one time and talked to his coach too, and said he's just always been like that. Like he just never got, you know. He just, I don't know if they're lung. You know, they did a sports science thing on Kane, and they said his endurance is on the same level as the best endurance, like the Kenyan guys that run 26 miles or whatever. He said it's on that level. And I think some people's bodies just process oxygen different. You look at Phil Baroni, Phil could come in with 1% body fat and still struggle cardio wise. You know, like I think it's just some, I don't know if it's your, you know, lung capacity. I don't know what it is, but my cardio, even when I played basketball in college, my cardio stunk. When I was in phenomenal shape, my cardio stunk. Like it's just, I don't know, man.
What's up, people? Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Now head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code CLNS50 to get started. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds right to the Olympic coverage. And it's the best in the business, okay? From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Don, you have great cardio, right?
I'd like to think so. You know?
Did you ever get tired in a fight?
Yeah, when I quit training, yeah. I started hitting the drugs more, yeah, the pills, yeah. But before that, no, I never got tired, never.
Never got tired.
Well, too, man, the big factor, and I found this to be true, is the ability to relax, which a guy like Don obviously can relax during a fight because he's the manliest man ever. So, like, he doesn't, like, you know, get nervous. But the ability – you talk about – somebody told me about – I can't remember who it was. They were talking about Navy SEAL buddies of theirs who are in the most amazing shape ever would get exhausted sparring with them because they were nervous. You know, like they hadn't sparred a bunch or fought. And not that they hadn't fought, but, I mean, physically, you know, like that. But the ability to relax, man, while you're fighting. And Colby, you can tell Colby's relaxed the whole time, man. Like, he just has that ability to stay calm and relaxed, you know.
Yeah,
in there. So,
well, he wasn't being challenged much, so I can see why he stayed calm and relaxed. I mean, he was only threatened for one shot in the fourth, and you could tell Jorge just didn't have the gas to follow up. It wasn't like with Diaz where he pointed and laughed and blew the opportunity. He hit him, and it's almost like he was so relieved to have a second to breathe where the guy was injured, and by the time he had the end to go back, it was over. Colby had already, he kind of recovered. So, I mean, it was, it was definitely a tale of two different cardio.
Don, the fight before that, so they had Rafael Dos Anjos, who fought this guy, Renato Moicano, who took the fight on 1 week notice. This fight should have been stopped. This was a fucking beatdown and a half, and Renato's corner, dude, the ref in the fifth round said, I'm going to give you 30 seconds if you don't show me anything in 30 seconds, I'm stopping the fight. To which he still didn't stop the fight. The guy just got the shit out of him.
It was kind of funny when that happened, though, because it was like, Dos Anjos, here's that too. And he was like, okay, so I'm not going to attack this dude for 30 seconds. And then waited for that time to elapse and then went in after it.
Dude, there was no point of that. Like, they should have just cut to I put like Rachel Austin is jumping on a fucking trampoline. There was no point. I'm watching this fight going, this guy's going to have brain damage. He's going to have CTE. Nothing good is happening right now. Like, he's not going to come back. And you're just watching a guy show toughness. But, Sean, right? Towel?
If the only thing that's going to change it is they're going to get somebody killed. Like, they really are going to get somebody killed because people are like, well, he can quit anytime he wants. It's not that easy. If you're branded a quitter, if you tap when you're not in a submission or whatever, you're branded, your career might as well be over because you're a quitter. You don't have any balls. You don't have any of this and that. And so I guarantee you he was dying for his corner to stop it once he realized he had no gas left to fight. He had taken one of the worst beatings I've ever seen anybody take in my life. And he can't see. The doctor asked him if he could see out of his eye, and he was kind of like, kind of, you know what I mean, or whatever like that. The doctor's like, oh, he's okay, you know, whatever. Like, I'm telling you, they're going to get somebody killed, and then they're going to start stopping fights the first time someone gets knocked out. Like, it's going to go away like an overcorrection. But I won't even watch fights like that anymore, man. When, what's his name? Brian, he fought Max Holloway. Brian.
Ortega.
That fight reminded me of that. No one should take that kind of beating in a sport, ever, in anything, but certainly not a sport, man. Like, somebody, either his corner, the ref, somebody has to do it because somebody's going to die.
It was crazy. So Bryce Mitchell, Bryce Mitchell, basically, he's
nasty.
So this guy's from, he's from Arkansas, and he's hilarious. You would love him. So he made headlines because he went on Ariel Helwani's show, and he goes, Ariel, I want to ask you some questions, right? So first, he supported the truckers. He was all for the Canadian truckers, you know, that whole thing that was going on. Then he says, no one's taking his guns from him. Great. He basically said everyone on my block is strapped. We got the Johnsons, we got the Sycamores, the Thompson. He named everyone on his block and what kind of gun they had, right?
As they're getting added to the FBI watch list, like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let's just keep an eye on McDaniel Court.
Dude, and he goes, but then he said one thing I don't agree with, which he's basically said the government was behind the school shootings as a way to take away his guns, his AK, which I don't think the government was behind the school shootings, but I'm sure somebody out there in the interwebs will be like, no, watch this video. I'm not watching your fucking video. I don't care. I refuse to believe that. But Bryce wanted to debate for like 45 minutes about, you know, healthcare and how it's not a universal right. It just kept going on and on. And I got to say, man, I may not agree with all of Bryce Mitchell's points, but I love the fact that he's making the points, and I agree with his right to make the points. And I love characters like this dude. He's hilarious. Did you see the interview, McCorkle, with this guy?
No, I saw clips here and there, but I loved his interview about how much masks suck back in the day. Like, that one cracked me up. He's like, if your mask works, why do I need to wear mine? Which is what I was saying forever. He's definitely a character, man. He's on that school shooting stuff. And I think a lot of people go a little too far. I'm a conspiracy theorist, I guess, to a degree, but I don't think the government needs to have people go shoot up a school. People are crazy enough to do that on their own.
Yeah.
But they will capitalize on things. So the government may not have released COVID to try to do this or that, but they'll take advantage of it if they get the opportunity, you know, like anything that happens. But yeah, it's the people that crack me up are think that a school shooting was faked. Like, so you think the government cares so much about our children that they will go to the degree of faking the shooting of children? You know, like, if they're that ruthless, they would just have them killed and not think twice, you know? So there's a happy medium somewhere in there between school shootings and 9/11. I don't know.
I will say that the Vegas shooting is strange. How did that guy get a whole fucking militia up there for like a month and nobody saw him?
And there's never an explanation. Like, you never hear about it again. Like, Epstein fake hanging himself. Like, Okay, I mean, just disappeared. You know?
I mean, I smoke a joint in a Vegas casino, and I'm like running down the fucking the thing because I don't want to be seen by anybody. But this guy's right. got a fucking this guy's got like a cannon in his room,
right.
like, and room service didn't see the cannon. I mean, you know how hard it is to get room service to leave you alone for a day? I mean, something's a little strange about a fucking Vegas shooting, no?
I think it's pretty easy to blend in. I think it's easy to make things look like suitcases. I think they have people show up with lots of luggage all the time, you know? And I think those service workers try not to see anything when they go in those rooms. I think they try and just clean that shit up and get the fuck out of there.
There's something strange about that thing.
Those service workers will notice if you're not wearing a mask when I went to Las Vegas a month ago.
No, Bryce Mitchell was so funny. He was like, Bryce is like, no, I was in Vegas and I talked to the cab drivers and the cabs told – those guys told me what's up. he's the best. Those are the guys to talk to. I mean, you want to know what's going on.
Yeah, if you want to know whether it's a strip club or a whorehouse. Jesus Christ. Come on, guys.
So anyway, his fighting technique, the guy's undefeated, and he is awesome. I mean, the guy, holy shit.
Do you know what his background is? Because it just seems like a guy from the sticks out in Arkansas wouldn't be that good of a wrestler and submission guy and good – like, and he's not very old. I mean, he's not a very old kid.
Well, and he's – weird, man. And he's also one of those guys, again, like, he doesn't show up all cut up. Like, he's been fucking you don't expect that kind of wrestling cardio when you look at his body. You don't see that kind of strength, and he doesn't look like he's going to have that kind of endurance. And then again, it looks like that Sambo style of just intense pressure.
I like Khabib strength. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it's the Khabib style, and I think we're just going to see more and more and more of it, which incidentally isn't great for the sport. It isn't the most exciting style to watch. It gets a little boring, but I think we're just going to see more and more of it.
But he knocked down Barboza on the feet. Like,
yeah.
That was crazy.
But I mean, he just caught him with a good one, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but
most of the fight was him getting him on the ground and right. and holding him down and samboing him. I mean, that's what it looked like to me, man.
Your guy Greg Hardy, who here's the problem, Don, with these football players, right?
What about Kevin Holland? Okay, wait. We'll double back.
These guys all come out and they knock the first 10 guys out because they're so much stronger, more athletic. And they're feeding them, like, guys that aren't as good. And then all of a sudden, they get to that next tier, and their entire career has been playing football. So they're trying to play catch-up. And for Greg Hardy, if I was Greg Hardy's coach, I would find a wrestling team in Florida and just throw them in a fucking wrestling practice every day of the week. Like, because he gets on the ground and he panics. And he doesn't he doesn't know what to do on the ground.
Literally the tale of the day for every crossover athlete that's ever entered the octagon. They wind up on their back. Their legs don't know what to do. Their arms are all over the place. And it almost gets embarrassing. You're like, okay, he's not ready for this level.
Put him in a college wrestling room 5 days a week. And I think you'd have I think after a year, Greg Hardy would be an elite heavyweight.
Well, and he got to know that people have counseled him that way, and he's like, no, I got it. I know what to do. I got it. Like, he wants to just learn some basic escapes, and then he thinks he's got it. Sean, you know, I'm sure his coaches were smart enough to say, like, no, you need to be wrestling every day. And he's like, don't worry. I'm never going to, you know, I'll catch him on the way in, you know, because that power is so reliable up to that point.
Sean?
I think if anybody's an expert on winning fights solely based on being bigger and stronger and more athletic, it's me. that's exactly how I got to the UFC, and I got lost when I got the second tier. But, you know, my jiu-jitsu coach told me when I first started training, man, which is one of the smartest things a coach ever told me. He said, you're always trained from the bottom. Always start on your back. Always start in a bad position, because he said you're so much stronger than everybody and better looking. He didn't say that. But so you're so much stronger than everybody that you're always going to be fine when you're on top once you learn some basic submissions. But you have to learn to fight from your back, because at some point, someone's putting you on your back, you know, and you're not going to be able to get up if you don't know what you're doing. And I think that's a lot of what these guys do. They just are so used to being physically dominant until you get in there somebody who's as big, as strong, and has technique. And I think that's the problem. That's the problem I ran into. Like when Soa Pelele picked me up and slammed me, and was started punching me in the face a whole bunch in Australia, I thought, this must be how everyone else felt when I was fighting. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, to be completely helpless under someone bigger and stronger than me. You know?
So, Don, you got a guy like Greg Hardy, right? Obviously an elite athlete, football player. He was, like, a number one pick, played for the Cowboys, got kicked out because of some domestic violence issues, won his first 10 fights, lost his last three, has basically been knocked out in the first round, but all three fights. Maybe he lost in the second
round.
He
did live my life. Go ahead.
What do you do with him?
You train him for his weak spot. You know, it's going on the weak areas. You know, we spent the majority of time, 75% of the time, in the weak areas. And because you can't forget, you know, your strong points, you still have to do it. But you do that only 25-30% of the time. And the rest of the time, you concentrate on your weakness and try and pull it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Rashad Evans.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't do that. When I was Uriah Faber brought me up for a few days when he was coaching the Ultimate Fighter. They brought me in for a few days, and I had a lot of fun. And bless him, you know, he's a good kid. And but one of the guys on the team,
we're losing you, Don.
I'm pretty sure what he's saying is that one guy just was like, fuck it, I only want to work from things I'm comfortable at, right?
And he turned out to be nothing, you know? I mean, yeah. He never got a title shot because he wasn't working on his weak spots, you know? And he's fucking, you know, he wouldn't try anything else, and everybody else passed him up.
Dude, that Gary Tonin, who's fighting this week, by the way, we're going to talk about some upcoming fights. It's a great week of fights. He says he's one of the best in the world in jiu-jitsu. And he's like, I tap 4 or 5 times in practice. I go, what? He goes, yeah, because I start in the worst possible position. Like, the guy's got me to heel hook and start. And I'm like, the ego that you have to not have to be that is what you have to do to be great. I mean, Greg, like, I tell comics, a lot of people can kill in a hot crowd. A lot of people can hit. Yeah. It's when I see people are like, who are you impressed with the comic? I'm impressed with the comedian when they're bombing and bombing and bombing and find a fucking spot and turn the crowd around and then kill. Or when everyone on the fucking lineup bombs, but one guy gets them. It's, I've been up there. You got to do an hour. First 10 minutes, nothing. But you got to figure out, okay, how am I going to, is it the crowd work? Is it the jokes? Is it where I'm standing? Is it how I'm this? What is it? Is it how I'm holding the mic? Do I have to rephrase the joke? What do I got to do to find that fucking cheat code to get in there? And that's,
is it that I'm breathing shallow and I'm not funny? That could be what it was.
Damon Wayans, who I think is one of the most underrated comedians, he had one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard. He talked about Magic Johnson's kid. You know, Magic Johnson's kid is like really gay. I mean, like the gay, like he's like very, very effeminate, like a huge black. And he goes, it must have been hard for Magic when he was growing up because he was like this manly. And he'd be like, hey, I'm Magic. And his son would be like, and I'm Voila.
from one to Bruce Buffer, how gay is he?
I don't know that Bruce Buffer is gay, but
I didn't say that. I just
but this dude is very effeminate. That's all I'm saying. All right, so
real quick, Adam. Sorry to interrupt, but you know when you were talking about like training your weaknesses, I had a good point to make on that. I heard that there was a coach in Las Vegas that was training, doing one-on-one private session with Bruce Buffer, and he asked him what his biggest weakness was, and Buffer just found himself training with tattooed Latin guys. So I don't know.
I don't even know what that even means.
I was gonna say, I think you just put your big job on the map.
Just a tattoo that guy. Got it. All right. Jeez. So you wanted to talk about the Kevin Holland fight.
Kevin Holland.
Dude, Kevin Holland is gonna look like a world beater against anyone who doesn't wrestle. If I were him, now I heard they give you like three people to fight. You want to fight this guy? Pick the guy that doesn't wrestle. Because as soon as he goes against a wrestler, he doesn't win usually. But against Cowboy Oliveira, he looked like a world beater because his striking's great. He's so tall.
Well, in round two, in round one, Oliveira was fighting a pretty solid fight. He was very technical, and he was having a pretty good fight.
But I don't know how good Kevin Holland is right now because he fought a guy's not a wrestler. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I like Kevin Holland. He also didn't talk any shit this fight.
That was weird. Yeah, that was strange.
I know. I was waiting for him to start talking, and he really didn't. To the point where I was like, oh, is he not the fighter that does all the talking? Because I thought he was the one that does all the talking. So, which obviously that worked because he finished the round, and the coach was like, look, okay, you didn't get that round, so you need to pick it up in the second. And then he went out there and knocked him the fuck out. I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of wrestling out of him. Hopefully he is working on it.
So, some fights this week. In Invicta. Is this Thursday? This girl Paulina Granados is fighting. We've had her on the podcast. Super hot, has a hot OnlyFans, hot Mexican chick. Big fan of hers. She's fighting.
I'll be fighting to not touch myself.
In one championship, like I say, Gary Tonin, who's 5-0, is fighting this guy Tan Lei, who's 10-3. Really good fighter. On like our 5 or 6 pound, 5 or 6 winning streak. Gary Tonin's funny, man. Like he's one of those guys when he's cutting weight, he's a complete asshole, which like most people are, I guess. But he like puts. So this is what he put on Instagram today. BJJ girls and guys, do you test any of the moves you do with any level of resistance before posting them on Instagram, or do you just completely make shit up and immediately deem it worthy of sharing? Why not just start doing katas? You make me sick. Shame on you. So,
who said this?
Gary Tonin. I guess people are posting technique videos, but like not.
Right, but they've been doing it for like, it's like when an open micer posts a fucking set.
he's very mad about this. So he
sounds probably, like a dick. I hope he gets hit by a train and dies.
Oh God. No.
That's, no, I mean, that's not me. I'm saying that's half of Twitter. You're a dick. I hope you die.
So Brave, by the way, has some good fights. They're in Bahrain. You ever go to Bahrain?
I've been there. Yeah.
You went there with the military, right?
Yeah.
Dude, Bahrain is the craziest place I've ever. I've been there like 4 times for the military, and it's one of the places where I guess people from Saudi Arabia or some of they think that like this is what I heard that. Allah can't see them in Bahrain because it's like on a bridge or something to go over there. So it's like anything goes. Whorehouses, like alcohol, drugs. It's dude, I went to a club. There was like, there must have been 100 prostitutes, all good looking, but with terrible teeth.
Wait, where's this club?
It's in Bahrain. Dude, these women come up to you. They're all like Filipino. They just grab your penis and go, hot dog. Like that's like they, and then they want you to have sex, which I never did, but it was like, it was, they just grab your cock and say hot dog at this club. It's one of the, but that's where, is that where you went, Sean, or no?
I didn't go to that club, but, I did hear that, Bruce Buffer frequents a club there called Hot Dog. No, but, when I was in Bahrain, I found it interesting that I told James Krause I would meet him down at the lobby later, and then the tour guide told me not to tell anyone where we're going to be because I might get blown up. Like, he's like, you might get blown up. I wouldn't tell anybody where you're going to be. And he was serious. Like, wow. Our tour guide, because I guess they really hate Americans over there, especially if they think you're in the military. But, yeah, I just think – I don't know. You probably aren't familiar with this, Adam. The first verse in the Quran says what happens in Bahrain stays in Bahrain. So
I know. I was trying to get back to that, too. I'm like, it's a very convenient belief system.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no. I believe except there's one place.
It's the same thing in Dubai. Like, the Saudis think if they go to Dubai, it's okay to do whatever you want.
Because it's like an island, so it's not connected to the Holy Land. It was like some type of, like, clause that, like, get out of jail free clause. Anyway, so Brad.
I wonder if there's any boys there since it's an island.
Brad Katona, who's 10-2, is fighting Hamza Kulihi. That's in Brave. This week, March 11th, Eagle FC, Khabib's thing. It is. Yeah. Kevin Lee versus Diego Sanchez. This should not be legally sanctioned. I don't know why this is happening. Kevin.
So wait a minute. When did Eagle FC become Bellator? This is what? I thought the whole thing was it would be all these other fighters. What are they doing with Kevin Lee and Diego Sanchez? Oh, my God.
Don, who's going to win this fight, Don?
Not the fans, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Also, Ricky Bendejas, who I thought was going to be actually, like, he's actually really good. When he knocked out James Gallagher, who they were calling him the next Conor McGregor, but then he ended up losing to Juan Archuleta, Apache Mix. He lost a bunch of Sergio Pettis, Leandro Higa.
So they were just being racist. he's Irish. He's going to be the next Conor McGregor.
No. But he's fighting Ray Borg, who's a really good fighter, Ray Borg. Also, and Anthony Hamilton. Remember him, Sean?
I know the name, but I can't picture him. Yeah.
He's a heavyweight. They call him Freight Train. I remember he beat Smolino Rama by a head kick. He's 15-8. He hasn't fought since 2017. He lost to Daniel Spitz. He lost to Marcel Fortuna. He lost to Ngannou. I mean, all good guys. He lost to Todd Duffy in 2014. He beat Ruan Potts. He beat Daryl Schoonover. Remember, he's the guy they called Titties on the old fighter. That poor guy from El Paso. So he's fighting this guy, Rizvan Kunaev, who's 11-2. So I guess they're trying to build this dude up. You can see a picture of this guy. You can see him. Not the best, but he's 11-2.
I think that's
a heavyweight.
No, Lee Sanchez, but it's it'll be all right.
And then Henan Barao, who this dude, you talk about USADA. Remember he was like 80-0 before USADA, and then he lost to TJ Dillashaw, then he lost to Jeremy Stevens, then he lost to Aljamain, lost to Brian Kelleher, lost to Andre Ewell, lost to Luke Sanders, lost to Douglas Silva. I mean, he was killing.
Yeah, you know, you can say that, Adam, but there's no denying that's a hell of a streak.
He was killing it before that. So he's fighting Horacio Gutierrez. And then that guy, also Impa. He's the guy that, remember the guy who caught his leg and did that crazy kick? That was against him. Remember against Joaquin Buckley? Remember Joaquin Buckley?
Yeah.
So
that's right.
He's fighting a guy named Raymond Magomedov, who's 9-1, who just beat Anthony Njikawani, knocked him out in one round. So this dude's obviously the real deal. So that's this week in Eagle FC. Also, the PFL Challenger Series. So I guess the PFL is doing this thing. It's on FUBU, FUBU Network. And the first week they had Jeremy Piven.
I think it's FUBO. I don't think it's FUBU.
Oh, FUBO.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why they have to wear ghetto clothes, like rapper clothes, while they fight.
So they had Jeremy Piven, Tyron Woodley, and Ray. Who's that guy, the football player? Ray.
Ray Rice? Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, the murderer?
Yeah, Ray Lewis. So the three of them got to pick who gets into the PFL based on their performances. So
I know when I'm looking for a fight scout, I immediately think Jerry Piven.
Jeremy Piven. Exactly. Let's get Jeremy Piven.
You know who could really pick some good fighters is the guy that played Cheese in Old School. Like that guy. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, your third judge, you know her as Blossom. Please put your other. I am Bialik, the Big Bang Theories.
I love Jerry Piven. I me and him toured together. But it just him and him, Woodley, and then Ray Lewis got the pick. Who gets into the field?
This guy's a professional athlete, but not in this sport. Let's bring him out. Here he is, Greg Louganis.
You know, I don't know.
Like maybe. It's like the idiot for ESPN who knows nothing about fights.
Stephen A, every time he opens his mouth, he's like, shut the fuck up.
I hope Cain Velasquez's legal team talks to Ray Lewis as we're talking about it, because he got away with killing a guy in Atlanta 20 years ago.
So. Yeah, he sure did, outside a strip club.
All right, so the UFC.
It's called Hot Dog.
The UFC this week has some fights. Thiago Santos, he's the guy with the big hammer on his chest.
Yeah.
He was looking like a world beater. Then he lost, like, three. And, well, he won his last fight. He beat what's his name? Johnny Walker. Before that, he lost to Rachik, Glover Teixeira, and John Jones. All great guys. He knocked out Jan Blachowicz, and he knocked out Jimmy Manoa. So he is fighting Ankalaev. And Ankalaev, who just beat Volkan Ozdemir, beat Krylov, beat Kudalaba twice, his only loss is to Paul Craig. And that was a fight he was winning like 10-8, 10-8, and he got submitted with 1 second left by a triangle. Like 1 second. Literally 4 minutes and 59 seconds. So
only because I bet on him.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just figuring that's probably what happened.
So. Yeah, I was going to say the likelihood is that he's serious.
So that's going to be a good fight. Marlon Moraes, who
I think, wait a minute, talking about this fight, I just really think that angle of, I mean, again, we're talking about that Sambo, that Khabib style. Now, this will be interesting because ostensibly Thiago is going to have more power. He's going to have greater strength. So it'll be interesting if that style, if you know, there's always a neutralizer. For every one of these, there's some kind of a neutralizer. Like for jiu-jitsu, it was wrestling, you know? And so it's like, okay, so is strength going to be the thing that allows you to kind of break that system?
Yeah.
You know, to where they can't just pin you down. They can't hold you down. They can't smother you. They can't just you know, squeeze you the whole time. It'll be interesting to see if that works out.
Those Dagestani guys, it's a different kind of strength, man.
I know. I totally agree. And this will be interesting to see if it plays out again here, where you're up against a guy, ostensibly, you look at him, you're thinking, okay, this guy should be stronger. But you're right. It is a different kind of strength.
Also, Song Yadong.
Finally.
He knocked out Arce his last fight. He beat Casey Kenney. He lost to Kyler Phillips, who's a stud. He's fighting Marlon Moraes, who's lost three in a row. But remember, he was beating Merab Devash, that guy Merab Devashelli, whatever. I don't know how to say his last name. But remember, he had him out, and then the dude ran away and then came back and won. That was like the craziest fight ever. Remember that fight? He was literally running for his life, and then came back, pinned the guy, and then beat him up. It was insane. That's going to be great. Sadiq Youssef, he's the guy that has he has like five moms, and he's from Africa, but in that culture, they're allowed to have. But I think he only lives with one of them now. They're allowed to have as many moms as you want. And then
they really got that one backwards.
And he's got. He's got like 27 brothers and sisters.
Talk about the worst marriage proposition ever. It's like, how many mother-in-laws do I get? Five? No, thank you.
But they all live in different rooms. They all don't sleep in the same bed together. It's not like him saying goodbye, good night. So he's awesome, Sadiq. He's fighting Bruce Leroy, who's been looking great his last couple fights, but I still think what's his name's gonna win. Khalil Roundtree, he's the guy that was fighting. Remember, he was on The Ultimate Fighter. He was getting beat up.
And
his mom was yelling, get up. His mom, and he goes, shut up, mom. And then that went viral. That got like 9 billion hits. Him say, which is annoying when someone just says, get up, when you're getting pinned down.
He just lucky he didn't have five moms screaming at him.
I was gonna say, and didn't he also? Also, didn't he go on to lose that fight?
Yeah, he lost.
Like her yelling at him didn't help at all. Like he shut up, mom, and then continued, and then got pinned. And that's one of those things. Like you think I don't want to get up? You think I'm not trying to get up? Should get a Netflix special. You think I don't want a Netflix special? Oh. You think I'm not trying? They're always just saying, you should get a Netflix special. Oh, yeah, let me just, you know, I'm going to order one on Amazon right now.
Terrence McKinney, who fought last week, he's the guy that was pronounced dead three times because he got tased three times by the cops when he was on LSD and acid. He was a state champion wrestler, wrestled in college.
Naturally.
At one point, national champion. He won last week. He knocked out somebody in 7 seconds, the steamroller for Vola, and he won his last fight. He's fighting Drew Dober, who's got a really hot wife. She came to my show in Colorado. So
I love Adam's breakdowns of fights. Like, this guy's wife's hot. He's fighting a guy that used to be addicted to LSD that got stunned by the cops. And he also fought the steamroller. And like, oh, I remember that fight.
Oh, listen,
he told his mom to shut up, and then
You know what though? It's on brand for us. You know what people don't like is when we do real analysis. I mean, honestly, anytime we take this shit seriously, people are like, bleh.
Yeah, because there's 10 million guys that tell you the same fucking thing. How many people are gonna remember that the fucking guys yelled?
Look at Drew Dober. Looks like he could be somebody's hot wife. I mean, that guy's fucking gorgeous.
His wife came to my show. She's like smoking hot.
I bet. Listen,
somebody told me that Dominic Cruz says he puts the anal in analysis, but I wasn't sure if that was true.
I wonder who told you that. And then Jillian Robertson, who's got a she's got a fucking hot on Instagram. She's got like red hair. She has like, but it's always the same picture. So she keeps posting it, but she looks fucking hot in it. She's fighting. If I can find her Instagram.
She only posts on Thursdays, like throwback, same picture over and over.
She keeps liking my posts, but then never gets back to me when I ask her to do the podcast. It's like annoying. Hold on, let me see if I can find this one.
It's almost like she doesn't want to do the podcast.
She's like, I can come on like on the phone audio wise. Right, what do you think? Just put that picture of me on there.
That's one picture. That's normal, right? Kind of. But this one, what do you think of that one?
I mean, you know,
what you
would from the shoulders down, I like.
Oh, come on, she's a pretty girl. You don't
like. What's her name? Tell me her name again. Let me look this up.
Jillian Robertson. You don't like redheads, Don? You like redheads?
Everybody loves redheads. Yeah, come on now.
No, look, it's the same picture. Look, I'm telling you, this one was in 2021 in July, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at her. You can tell she's a fighter. You know what I mean?
Come on, dude.
It's going to be so awesome for me to bring this up, what Greg says when she's on the show. Now, Greg said you look like a fighter when he looks at your face. How do you think that? What do you think he said that for?
Haven't you heard what he's been saying? She's not coming on the show.
She's hot. I think she's a little hottie. Oh, right here, Greg, come on.
I'm not saying she's not a hottie. I mean, she's in incredible shape. She takes little sexy pictures. Great, you know, but I mean, look at your mind.
All right. So she's actually fighting. Who's she fighting?
And listen, don't get me wrong. She doesn't want to fuck me either. Okay, so it's fine.
She's fighting.
It's all even between me and Jilly.
She's fighting JJ Aldrich. That should be a good fight. JJ's a tough girl from Colorado. Also, Damon the Leech is fighting. He's 5'11", 145 pounds. He's a guy that just gets the shit beaten out of him, Damon, the entire fight, and then comes back and wins by some weird submission. And, like, he's known for that. He's fighting a guy named Kamwela Carrick, who goes by the Jawaian.
The Leech. I feel like that's a nickname given to him by an ex-girlfriend.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, he's known for whatever. I was like, he's obviously known for being a leech. If that's his name.
Yeah, exactly. He's obviously known for not paying his rent and eating all your food. That's what that's known for.
And also, Bellator is this week. Bellator, of course, they're going Saturday night, of course.
And another mystery night MMA.
Adam Borix, who's 17-1, fucking is fighting Mads Burnell, who's a good fighter. He used to be a UFC fighter. Borix is a he has one loss. Which was to Darian Caldwell 2 years ago. Dude's on a mission. And Phil Davis is fighting. So I love Phil Davis. He's got a hot wife who's Korean, and they own a deli in San Diego, and he has his own beer, Mr. Wonderful Beer. So got to root for Mr. Wonderful Beer. Phil Davis.
Okay, this is the most Bellator thing in the world. I'm looking at the thing right now. Borix versus Burnell. What a matchup. It's the number two ranked Borix versus the also number two ranked Burnell.
There's only room for two.
Finally, we'll find out who the real number two is.
Yeah, and they got a girl.
They said on the Highlander there can only be two.
You got a guy, Romero Cotton, versus 4-0 versus a guy who's 5-6. Another girl is 4-0 versus a guy that's 5-. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, what do you got?
Bellator's marketing reminds me of number two.
They really totally. Exactly. Their whole strategy is we're going to take a hot number two.
And then this week in bare knuckle boxing, are you guys gonna watch bare knuckle boxing this week?
No, I have some breathing to do.
Did you?
I will. I will do anything other than watch Bare Knuckle Boxing.
Did you watch Knuckle Mania?
Knuckle Mania 2, you mean?
Knuckle Mania 2.
The classic.
You know, honestly, I would watch Bare Knuckle Boxing, but it's like, isn't it? Don't you have? Is it on Fight Pass now? Is that where it is?
No, it's only $5. $5 a month for the app.
You're gonna have to find them Bellator too.
I say you better go a little cheaper than that.
My kid's crying. I gotta go. Hold on. Let me see. BKFC. Oh, is it this week? Oh, April 8th. That's gonna be a good Mike Richmond versus Dave the Caveman Rickles. That's gonna be a good fight.
Finally, the matchup we've been waiting for.
I was gonna say the matchup you needed them to fall out of three other weight divisions to make.
Oh, and then, did you guys hear about celebrity boxing?
Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, if you go to the Bare Knuckle website, there is a sign up for tryouts.
That's amazing.
I am not joking when I tell you, you can sign up to try. You know what? Adam, let's go.
I'm signing CB Gold up.
Sign up CB Gold. That's right. CB's golden gold. Don't even bring that silver shit in here.
March 26th, guys. Al B. Shore is boxing the Latin lover Hazel Roach. Al B. Shore, you know Al B. Shore is, right?
Absolutely, so this is an intergender fight?
No. Al B. Shore from the 80s. He has some good songs.
Night and Day.
Yeah, and then also there's a performance by Kid and Play. Roy Jones Jr. is going to be the celebrity. It just says Peter Guns is the commentator. And Flavor Flav.
Can you imagine if they had this idea 30 years ago?
Flavor Flav is the ring announcer.
Oh my God!
Tretch.
Well, those are going to be some long breaks between rounds.
We're going to have Pamela Anderson be the ring card girl.
Like. Tretch from Naughty by Nature is going to be the guest.
Dude, you got to go back 25 years for this to be an A-list fucking event.
It's going to be at the Showboat in Atlantic City. Also fighting Kimbo Slice Jr. versus Iggy Rodriguez. I don't know who that is. But yeah, so that's going to go on.
It's got to be hard to put this together. There must be an agency that's like called Bottom of the Barrel Booking. And they're like, you just need any name? And then they have this roster of fantastic names to have at your next fighting event.
Well,
I can't believe Webster's not involved somehow.
Was he still alive?
I think he passed away. Yeah, I don't think
so. Oh, then Gary Coleman.
I think he's also gone. So.
Golly. Got to stop this black midget on black midget crime.
Well, listen, and on that, thank you guys so much.
Don laughed at that. That was the one thing Don laughed at.
Oh. You guys are the best. I love you guys.
Las Vegas. The Dirty at 12:30, the South Point. If you guys missed it in Tucson, the shows were incredible. Don Fry was there for the main show on Friday night. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for saying that. It was so great to hang out with you, too. Don's the absolute best, man. You missed out. Anytime he goes anywhere, signs anything, do yourself a favor and go hang out with Don Fry.
And watch.
If you miss Greg's comedy show, his after party's at a club called Hot Dog. signing autographs.
Bring your own man.
Right. I'll get right home in the fanciest limo you ever seen in your life, right?
It was so nice. It had two doors and plenty of dog hair.
This is the part that Don should have actually Growly Pete. Have you guys seen Growly Pete from Trolls? I told you, right? Hold on. What Growly?
I didn't understand the last seven words you said, but I heard them. I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, Growly Pete, Trolls.
There's a guy named Growly Pete that was in Trolls.
Is he going to be on the same event with Flava Flav?
No, he's not. I got to fight. He sounds...
And Al B. Shore is fighting somebody?
Yeah, he's fighting somebody. Al B. Shore is.
That's going to be awesome, man.
This Friday night, I'll be at the Laugh Factory.
I'll be singing that night, too.
And Don has a podcast called Toxic Masculinity, right? Where could you find it, Don?
On YouTube.
Nice. Okay. YouTube, Toxic Masculinity. Sean, anything you want to plug?
No, I just want to say I'll be sure not to watch that event. That's what I was thinking, like, been thinking the whole time.
Love you guys. Take care.
See you later, bro.